Welcome into the Play Action Podcast. Lance Lysowski and I are fresh off another practice in the stadium, watching the Buffalo Bills Tuesday morning in Highmark Stadium for another audience, which was fun. We got to glean a bit off that. And coming off a preseason game, too, we have a lot to discuss.
We do, including Catherine. There were so few receivers available. I thought they were going to ask you to catch some passes from Josh Allen in the red zone drill.
I think I was ready.
Yeah. Got to get that warm up in. You don't want to pull anything.
Exactly.
Still preseason. But yeah, it was interesting. You know, we finally saw a preseason game in there. It's fun. Like, you know, we took the tours. You saw it for the scrimmage. But to actually see, like, you know, we're seeing football in that stadium now. It's a nice change.
Beautiful scene.
Yes, yeah. It is. It certainly
just
is.
I know it's still preseason football, but it's just we're getting closer and I'm loving that.
Yeah, and this preseason just feels different because you got a new head coach. You know, the Bills have a new coach, new coordinators, new defense schemes. So there's actually something to really pull from these preseason games other than just roster competition, which matters, but there's, I guess, bigger questions to be answered in this camp compared to maybe the last one.
Yes, we will get to some of those roster competitions in a bit, but I think we got a better taste of the Bills offense on Saturday.
Yes, we certainly did, or at least let's see, right? I mean,
yes.
You're always reminded it's vanilla. It's not about scheme as much as it is about execution, but the aggressive approach that the offense took right off the bat, Catherine, and to me, the one takeaway was them throwing the football on first down. They were 31st in the NFL in passes on first down last season because they were so good at running the ball.
Yes.
And if you have part of me wonders, well, they had a defensive head coach, and from my experience with defensive head coaches, they want you to run the ball on first down a lot. And I think when you have James Cook and you have the weapons that they have, they can be more unpredictable on offense if they throw the ball more. And Josh Allen was 4 for 4. Against the Carolina Panthers while throwing on first down, 68 yards and a touchdown.
Not bad.
And it wasn't just throwing the ball, Catherine. It was actually how they did it. A lot of under center play action.
Yes.
And if you look at their play action passing rate on first down last year, they were 16th in the NFL. With what they have schematic, you know, when you have the tight ends that they do, so you can do this in heavy personnel, you have the receivers they do now with DJ Moore, it's going to be a lot more difficult to defend the Bills offense, I would think, if you mix in more play action. It's just one of those cards they didn't play a whole lot last year, but if teams are loading the box to try to stop James Cook and there's maybe an overcorrection there, the Bills have the weapons to beat a defense.
You mentioned DJ Moore as part of that group. He was at practice today, Tuesday, as we record. Wasn't doing team drills, so still working back a bit from that Saturday injury during the preseason game. But I think just seeing the connection between him and Josh, him asking defenders to come at him, that's fun.
Yeah,
that's just fun.
It is fun. A little some danger in doing that, right?
Danger's fun, Lance.
He almost got hurt. But I think that what we've seen the last couple of weeks is confirmation that DJ Moore is rumors of his demise were greatly exaggerated.
Yes.
In Chicago. He is still a very good football player, and he's a perfect fit for this offense. And you compare it to last year, Catherine, where Josh Allen was primarily, it seemed like he was primarily trying to work with Keon Coleman and Joshua Palmer a year ago, you know, to get Keon more involved, develop his role, and trying to develop chemistry with Joshua Palmer. And just the difference between that connection and what he has with Moore right now is night and day. And it just makes you wonder how this is going to set up the rest of their offense and their strategy. I mean, Josh Allen was asked about it after that preseason game. You know, was getting the ball to DJ Moore a focal point early in this game? He goes, well, yeah, I hope that it's a focal point every game because it's going to make defenses sort of, you know, account for having a receiver that's that talented as well.
Yeah, sorry for spilling strategy so early, but watch for DJ Moore.
And Khalil Shakir as well. Yes. I think that this offense, I just think when you add somebody like DJ Moore, it really is going to open up the entire route tree for Khalil Shakir in terms of what he's asked to do.
100%.
And I think a lot of the narrative around Khalil Shakir is, you know, he's great at screens and the short and intermediate passes, but no, like he is a much more capable receiver. And I think with the way this offense is going to try to attack defense this season, we're really going to see that not only from Khalil Shakir, but when the season starts, Catherine, and they're in, you know, they have two tight ends on the field and you have Dalton Kincaid. I just think this is going to be a very difficult offense to stop with even more options that they have now compared to even a year ago.
Lance, let's go back to what you were talking about the Bills passing on first down. I think that can make such a difference of I mean, just keeping defenses on their toes, like you were just saying, with the weapons that they have. We see these numbers, just kind of the yards per pass at 7.4. Even if they aren't passing super often, they're effective at it.
Yes, that is a takeaway. I mean, Josh Allen was, when they did it, they were good at it.
Yes.
And I think back to that game against the Atlanta Falcons last year, where the first play from scrimmage for the Bills offense was that play action deep ball to Joshua Palmer. And it's one of those, like, I get it. You don't want to get behind the sticks, and you have James Cook. Your offensive line was one of the best, and it is one of the best in the NFL. And why stray away from something that works? Time of possession, all those great things. But when you have Josh Allen, and I just think that now, like, not to pick on people, but Catherine, when I went back and I looked at all Josh Allen's throws from last year, you almost forget some of the players he was asked to throw the ball to last season.
Yes, it was right before they called me up.
Yeah, the supporting cast is just a tad bit better now. And if Dalton Kincaid is healthy in a way that he wasn't a year ago, yeah, it is a game changer. And I think not only is it going to help them throw the ball, Catherine, it's going to help their passing offense, but when you do hand the ball to James Cook, it's just going to make them such a more dynamic offense. And one of the other takeaways I have is when you're talking about the offense, yeah, we're going to get the roster competitions later, but Ray Davis.
Yeah.
I want to see how much more he's going to get the ball this year. I think his role in offense is going to grow. He's had a really strong camp. He's good in the passing game. He runs hard between the tackles. And I think that is another layer that can create some deception, because last year it did feel like when they took James Cook off the field, no one's as afraid of Ty Johnson, or, you know, Ray Davis wasn't used as much on offense last year. I think if you have another running back who can really do some damage, it's gonna elevate them.
And he wants that too. You know, I think that's such an important part of it, of not only is he capable, but he's hungry.
Yeah, and I think that I would be interested in talking to him about that camp that he had last year. I just didn't think he started off on the right foot in that camp.
Well, they had him kicking, Lance.
And then he was kicking, pun mm-hmm. and maybe mm-hmm. pun intended, I don't know. But I thought that he just started slow, and James Cook started so hot in that season, they just kept handing him the ball. We know, like, Joe Brady hasn't come out and said it, they're not going to use James Cook as much, I wouldn't think. I think they're going to dial back a little bit on that, and a big part of that is going to be Ray Davis.
Let James simmer.
Our play of the week segment is back, and we finally have a more recent Bills game to discuss. We talked about DJ Moore's impact. In case you missed that one, you can go back and find it. But Catherine, you picked a really good one. Deion Walker was pretty much unstoppable in the Bills preseason opener. We finally got to see what kind of an impact he can have on Jim Leonard's defense, and I'm looking forward to you walking us through this one.
Yes, I was so impressed with Deion Walker in Saturday's outing against the Carolina Panthers. We're going to break down his sack of quarterback Bryce Young. Now, Deion Walker, as you'll see on this play, he is out there with Greg Russo, Ed Oliver, Bradley Chubb. So really strong group of guys. But what we love is the way that he is able to get to the quarterback, going around in between the offensive line, breaks through the center and the guard to get there. Deion Walker called himself assertive and dominant in this game. But I think what you see here is just all of the defense working together. I talked to Deion after the game, and he was not really taking credit for his own sack, saying, oh, Ed Oliver was able to pull these three guys for me. Bradley Chubb and Greg Russo playing a part here as well. But if we look at Deion Walker, Jim Leonard says the flexibility we can have with him, whether he's playing nose or bumping out and playing four eye, those are the different things we can do within this scheme. Now, go back to last season, Deion Walker was double teamed as a pass rusher more than 50% of the time, fourth highest among eligible defensive tackles. So he's going to see that some this season. But I think when we start to look at a play like this, we look at this photo from Buffalo News photographer Josh Bessix of him smiling before he brings down Bryce Young. He's going to be scary on the field. And I think that was exemplified in this sack. Lance, I know we just talked about how we're getting closer to real football, but if you're just tuning in Saturday to preseason game number two, you might be a little confused as to where the closer to real football is, because some of that will be in the joint practice on Thursday with the Cleveland Browns. We're heading there this week along with our colleague Jay Skursky to see what the Bills are doing there. And, you know, Jim Leonard, the defensive coordinator, was talking about how that's a better time sometimes to experiment at a joint practice than it is in a preseason game.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the Browns head coach, Todd Monken, talked to reporters on Monday, Catherine, and revealed that he and Joe Brady had a discussion. If they get everything they want out of this joint practice with their starters, none of those guys are going to play. none of those guys ever play after a joint practice. That's just part of the deal. Because as you alluded to, it's not like your two coordinators communicating beforehand about what you're going to do. Like it is a lot more of a simulation of what you can expect out of a game. I guess it's the bullets are live, so to speak, right? Where you can really get a sense of how your starters are lining up against another team. Now, Myles Garrett's not on the Browns anymore, but they do have Jared Verse. They have a lot of talented defensive players, so it's going to be a really good test for Josh Allen. I think it's a better defense, honestly, than the one they faced with the Carolina Panthers. But, you know, and then the Bills defense are probably going to see a lot of Shedeur Sanders, and we'll see how that goes. The preseason game is all about roster competition, though. It's all the guys who are a little bit lower on the depth chart. And I really am curious to see how that impacts their playing on defense, because a lot of those guys, whether it's Landon Jackson, TJ Sanders, I still think we're going to see some of those players, Catherine, because those competitions, and maybe it's not exactly who's the starter among those two, because it's going to depend on the personnel package, whatever they're in, opponent sometimes. I really do think that those guys were probably going to see him because they need the reps, especially somebody like Landon Jackson missed a lot of time last season.
Yeah, that was another point Jim Leonard made when he was talking to us today, Tuesday, of just pushing back a bit on don't read into this, don't read into that. We need to mix up who's playing with whom so we can get a better idea of how guys are together and stuff like that. So I think, you know, there's stuff to keep an eye on both for the joint practice and the preseason that's somewhat related, but a little different.
Yeah, and the thought that stuck out in my mind when he made that comment was the fact that Dorian Williams played the first series.
Yes.
An inside linebacker. Then it was Caleb Ellemazor. Then it was Dorian Williams. And Jim Leonard revealed, Catherine, somebody finally kind of came out and said it, there's a competition between Dorian Williams and Caleb Ellemazor.
There's a competition.
And that is not one that we expected before training camp started.
No, I think Caleb Ellemazor has played his way into it. Obviously, Dorian Williams dealt with some injuries that limited his time, but I think Ellemazor took such advantage of that that now we're seeing more of a calculus to who's going to play there.
Yeah, and Jim Leonard said, listen, they're all three of those linebackers, Terrell Bernard included, are going to have a role. What down, distance, personnel package, it'll vary. But when you're talking about the starters, I just think this isn't just about Dorian Williams' injury either. This is Caleb Ellemazor has been that impressive.
Yeah.
And not only is stopping the run, but what he's done in the passing game. And, I mean, this is a guy they drafted for this defense. He is a big linebacker who's very fast and athletic. And I think when you hear the coaches talk about it, what stood out to them is just how quickly he was able to pick up the defense and how he's been able to command the huddle beforehand, which is not easy for a rookie to always do.
No, and I think just his approach behind the scenes too, from talking to him, talking to other players, we're hearing about just his professional approach to whether it's being in the playbook, in meetings, whatever it is, just the way he's doing that is translating to the field.
Yeah, definitely. And I just think that it's, you know, another young guy who they may have came walking in the door. He was maybe, you know, tabbed for kind of a redshirt season, so to speak. But it just goes to show you how quickly the whole calculus can change. And that can be said for other spots in the depth chart as well. You look at boundary cornerback. Let's give Kenai Walker his flowers. Although not a starter, okay, even if he wins this competition with Toriano Pride Jr., they need more than we heard Brandon Bean say it in the offseason, how important boundary cornerback is. They needed depth behind Maxwell Harrison and Christian Benford, and an undrafted free agent like Kenai Walker playing as well as he is right now is significant.
We've seen already injuries at that position, so I think just the way Walker is approaching it, I just love his excitement. You know, you saw his reaction finding out he was the first interception in the new Highmark Stadium. I'm sure once the regular season starts, we'll say that again about the first interception in the new Highmark Stadium. But I think just, you know, his ability to be so invested, to have that chip on his shoulder, but to still be so excited every day to approach the game is going to take him a long way.
Also at inside linebacker, we know, again, we talked about those top three, but then you have Keyonte Jenkins and Joe Andreessen.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a competition that I think is going to go down to the wire.
I think that's another one that I wouldn't have guessed going into this camp necessarily. But the way Jenkins has played has made it, again, more of a competition.
Yeah, because Jenkins coming in, you would have think that this is a guy who's a better fit for Sean McDermott's defense, because Jenkins played, he came up as a safety. Like, this is a guy who has really strong cover skills and may not have that prototypical inside linebacker size for a 3-4, but he's had another outstanding camp. He was very good last year before he got hurt. The same thing is happening now. And I just want to keep seeing more Landon Jackson. I mentioned him off the top. I want to see more of him and TJ Sanders in this defense. You know, we talked about Landon Jackson's weight gain. You know, TJ Sanders had kind of an up and down rookie season, dealt with a couple of injuries. These are two guys they need to contribute as rookies, right? And I don't think they're necessarily contributing against each other, so to speak, but still, like, the Bills, they want to see growth out of those two in this training camp and these preseason games.
Jay Skursky will have more on Landon Jackson this week, so look forward to reading that. The most obvious competition, do we want to touch on left guard?
Yeah, let's go for it, because I think that finally we have preseason games and joint practice is another opportunity to see those guys.
Yeah, so they've been rotating. I don't know that there's a front runner at this point. What do you say?
I've seen a few people make the interesting point that because Alec Anderson is such a versatile player.
Yeah.
He can play. We saw him start at right tackle against the Steelers last year. He can play center. Does that versatility almost kind of work against him? Because if they need they don't have a swing tackle right now.
Right.
And that was Ryan Vandermark was a developed into a very solid one. You know, Drew Bowery, the rookie, he struggled in the preseason game he's been really good in camp. He had a tough time in the preseason game. Tylan Grable's coming back from an injury, got banged up at practice last week. Who is that other tackle that they can kind of use and trust? And Austin Corbett, the other candidate left guard, he's got the experience on his side.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Obviously, they're navigating the Connor McGovern injury right now. That changes the dynamic of the line a bit. But yeah, continuing just to rotate guys there and see who will win it.
Yeah, and Keon Coleman is dealing with an injury now.
He's booted.
Yeah, so
not booted from the team. He is wearing a boot.
As much that's a loss for the Bills. I think he's really started to come on in camp. The consistency was missing for a bit and had a good preseason game. We'll see how much time that he misses. We're not getting much as far as injury information in this training camp. Joshua Palmer's got a pretty big opportunity, though, to seize a role and show that he should be that 11 personnel packages should be more a part of the Bills game plan and put him on the field. And opens the door. You look at the other parts of the depth chart, Catherine. Skylar Bell, the rookie, wasn't a practice again on Tuesday, which is disappointing. Joe Brady said after the preseason game on Saturday that their hope was to get Bell reintegrated into the team this week so he can be involved in the joint practice in the preseason game. That's not looking as good. If he's kind of slow, he's going to make the team. But Trent Sherfield is somebody who is going to really have his odds of making this team, Catherine, in my opinion, have increased probably significantly since he agreed to come back and rejoin the Bills.
I would say the same. I think he has a really good relationship with Josh Allen too, which carries you far on the Bills.
Yeah.
So does Dante Pettis.
Yeah.
Same draft class. They've trained together before Pettis joined the Bills recently. So I thought he had some nice plays today, but it's guys getting more opportunities because of all those injuries at wide receiver.
And with those guys and that who are competing for that spot, Mecole Hardman's another one. It's about how can you help them on special teams?
Yep.
You know, and at the preseason game, Ray Davis was not only their top kick returner, but he was the first, he fielded the first punt.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's your returner in both of those, Catherine, Mecole Hardman's chances probably not as great, but you like to have options. You like to have versatility. He did have a 27-yard run on a reverse, so he's got a different skill set than the others they have in that room. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I like Dante Pettis. Like, Dante Pettis had a great catch in that practice at Highmark Stadium on Tuesday. He's really started to look comfortable in that offense, and he's a good return guy, and you need those, especially if, like, let's say, for example, James Cook goes down and you need Ray Davis to have more carries. You're not going to have him as a returner.
Yes. Before we end, I want to touch on safety real fast.
That's a good one. Kind of under the radar a little bit.
With injuries, CJ Gardner-Johnson has been present at practice, still not participating as we believe, re-upped his lower body injury.
Yeah.
So it's been Damari Hamlin, Geno Stone, Cole Bishop is back. multiple injuries going
Jalen
on at
Kilgore,
this position.
Jalen Kilgore did not practice on Tuesday, which is disappointing. I was hoping we could start to see him mix in a little bit more with the guys higher on the depth chart because he's got ability. He's a very talented kid, but they're slow playing his development. I don't blame them.
Yeah, but I think just even seeing, I think Hamlin's been more secure in that role so far versus Stone as they've had different opportunities and just, you know, we'll see where that trajectory continues.
Yeah, the Geno Stone's got to finish strong in this camp. I think he had the more he's got a lot of experience in a scheme just like this one. And it's one of the reasons why they signed him. Right. He had over 100 tackles last year. He had struggles in other areas of his game, but his issues in coverage have been, he took a penalty in the preseason game. For an experienced guy, I'm sure they want to see more. They're waiting to see more. But yeah, I mean, DeMar Hamlin, after missing all of last season, new scheme, Jim Leonard said he puts a lot on his safety shoulders. And DeMar Hamlin's handled that extremely well from my point of view. And yeah, I mean, he's earning, not only, Catherine, is he earning a roster spot, but he's going to be earning a role on game day if he keeps this up.
Yeah. A lot to watch.
There is a lot to watch. We will be in Cleveland.
Road trip.
And then after that, the Bills wrap up the preseason on a Thursday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Highmark Stadium. So a little bit of a compressed schedule next week. We will be coming back to you guys very soon.
Yes.
Start talking about 53-man roster projections, where the whole depth chart looks and how it stacks up, the latest on injuries and everything else. She's Catherine Fitzgerald. I'm Lance Lysowski. Thanks for joining us.